The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Can you hear me? All right. Good. Thank you. Well, here we are, the second Sunday after Epiphany. And if you've noticed, we've changed the colors. We're wearing green, and our pyramids are green. And this is important because it's meant to represent the green things of God's earth, and also to refer to the growth of the Spirit of God within us as response to His Holy Spirit coming during Christmas. So here we are, Epiphany. And last week, we talked a little bit about the role that the Magi in Mark's Gospel, but also John the Baptizer, played in bringing about the disclosure of Jesus. Jesus is revealing God's love to the world, the epiphany, or the moment of disclosure, the opening up, the light switch going on, is that Jesus Christ has come into the world, the reconciler of the world. And so the lessons from the Psalter in the Hebrew Scriptures also point in the direction of the one that is to come, the Messiah, the one who would lead everyone to the Mount of God to be instructed by God. Epiphany is that opening up, that sort of that the light coming on, that recall, turning, as John called the people from Jerusalem and Judea and the countryside, turn, the sense of repent, a baptism of turning. We talked about how that turning is always a returning back to a story, the story of redemption, and John going out into the desert as a sign of that desert that God's people traveled as they fled Egypt, as they stepped into redemption, as they went to the River Jordan, just like John called Judea and folks in Jerusalem, to the Jordan, to the waters of baptism. Well, Jesus continues to disclose his presence in the world. In fact, in John's Gospel, this is, some scholars believe, like the third day of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus is out and about. Jesus is out preaching. Jesus is out teaching, gathering his disciples. And I love the way that Eugene Peterson describes this word that comes into the world. If you recall John's Gospel, the word became flesh. Eugene Peterson says, the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Moved into the neighborhood. Now, for Rome and for Herod and anyone who was on the side of the Roman occupation of Israel, you know, their sense was probably is probably captured by the statement, "Well, there goes the neighborhood." I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase. Maybe it's come out of your mouth. I don't know. It sure has, out of mine. That whole sense of "there goes the neighborhood." There goes the neighborhood. Because Jesus comes and moves in. Remember, at the baptism, You don't hear the sound of chariots or trumpets. You don't hear the sound or see the, or there's no description of the sort of glorious overthrowing of Rome in the way that people would expect the Messiah. What do you hear? You hear the voice of God signaling a relationship, something personal. This is my son. I'm well pleased. And so for Jesus to move into the neighborhood is to move in the way of love. It's not to come into, you could say, show up with chariots and trumpets. But in John's gospel, Jesus moves into the neighborhood by moving into relationships, by stepping closer to folks from the community. So earlier in John's gospel, he meets up with Andrew, who was following John the baptizer. And Andrew gets his brother Peter. You know, one of the interesting things about that exchange is that John is walking around as Jesus continues to walk around himself. And at one point, John points to Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." What do John's disciples do? They leave immediately. And can you blame them, right? John's out in the desert. He's off the grid, eating locust, right? Honey, recall? If I was one of John's disciples and he said, "There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," I would tell John, "You know what, John? It's been real." This off-the-grid life, you know, no bills, no kids, off-the-grid, you know, this sort of organic diet we have going on in the desert, this whole foods organic diet. I'm going to go down with this guy. The first question that comes out of the mouth of the disciples of John as they leave John towards Jesus is this: where do you live? Where do you live, Jesus? Where are you going? We want to see where you live. If it was me, I would have dropped it into Zillow. Okay, what's the square footage? Because I'm done with the desert. I'm done with the desert. I need to see the square footage and the amenities. Jesus is out and about. To come and move into the neighborhood is to step into real life with real individuals. And we see this throughout the gospel narrative. And this is part of what it means to reflect on the Jesus that comes into our midst. He goes to two fisheries, competitors on the Sea of Galilee, turns competitors into companions for the sake of the kingdom of God. Goes to a tax collector, a government official, calls him, "Hey, follow me." To move into the neighborhood is to once again set aright the relationship so that it's no longer about being competitors. It really is about being companions on the way of Jesus. Being the light, because Epiphany is not simply about the revealing of Jesus, but it is about the disclosure of those who follow Jesus, this community of beloved people called children of God, going out into the world. This past Friday, I joined Zoe, and we went out to feed the veterans at the Veterans Center, that is right on Indian School Road in Grand Avenue. I walked into the kitchen to see if I could help, but I was given my orders. "We'll call you when we're ready to go, all right?" So I stepped away, right? Let things happen, and then came back to help load up, and we went to serve our veterans, the Veterans Center, at the U.S. Veterans Center. And there in the middle of this cafeteria TV room, it's amazing to see what Jesus moving into the neighborhood looks like. It looks like it's very simple. It is putting together a meal. It is saying hello. It's insisting on the dignity of every human being. It's living out of our baptismal identity to show up and to be light, but also, and this is how I walked away, to encounter Jesus there in the face of the veterans that we served, and to recognize that Jesus is in the neighborhood. And as we were packing up to leave, we stood outside the small little courtyard you drive in. We prayed, and I was genuinely moved. I was moved inside of me because I just had a conversation with a young man who wanted to talk about philosophy, about God, about religion, about dating. And then he saw my collar and he's like, well, maybe you know a little bit about that. I said, we're Episcopalian, we're good. It's that exchange, that sitting across one another to discover that Jesus shines in the middle of such simple actions and experiences. Jesus leaves the south, heads north, and encounters another set of individuals who have also been hoping and waiting. He encounters Nathanael. And in many ways, he encounters Nathanael through his friend. And it's interesting that Philip, when he sees his friend Nathanael, uses the same language that Jesus used when he spoke with those who came around to him, leaving John. Philip says, we found the Messiah. Nathanael, come and see. Come and see. And I think that that is how the gospel works in us. It transforms us at a very deep level so that we become the voice of Jesus in the world, inviting the world, come and see. Come to All Saints of the Desert. Come and see the community serving here. Come serve with the veterans. Come join the Desert Angels. Come join the men of All Saints. Come join, be part of the choir. Be part of the work that Jesus is doing in and through us. Come and see. And you heard the story, Nathanael. Nathanael is not moved. We found him, says his friend Philip. Jesus, the son of Joseph of Nazareth. What does Nathanael say? You're kidding me, right? Are you kidding me? From Nazareth? What good could come out of Nazareth? Now, this was normal in the first century, this sort of inter-village rivalries that took place. Heck, as I get to know you and get to know the community here at All Saints of the Desert, and there are a few occasions where I've said, oh, so you live out in Sun City West. How dare you? I don't live there. I live in Sun City. And so I'm learning this sort of the intricate nuances of what it means to live. You know, you live all the way in Goodyear. Oh, we'll pray for you. Okay, thank you. So these inner village rivalries were part of life. And Nathanael is dealing with really an impoverished perspective of others. He's dealing with an impoverished perspective of God and God's word. You see, Nathanael and Philip, as Philip comes and says, we've been studying this. So these were learned people. You know, if anyone says the disciples were a bunch of uneducated sort of mariners who, you know, didn't know it. No. They had been studying the scriptures. And Philip comes and says, remember, we've been reading about the Messiah and hoping. We found him. And Nathanael says, I'm sorry, but I didn't read that anywhere, that the Savior Messiah would come from Nazareth. So this sense of an inability to maybe even imagine that God might be up to something and somewhere else, we see this in Nathanael, and I've experienced it myself in my own life, where I limit the way that God can move and have God's being in the world, where our perspectives hem us in and make our worlds really small. Nathanael suffers from this sort of impoverished theology, this perspective that says, no, I think I know the story and I think I know how things need to play out, and it's not from Nazareth. Are you kidding me? The carpenter's son? Yeah, he fixed the table that was wobbly at home with a piece of wood, but Redeemer of the world? Are you kidding me? And I think that's the surprise of Epiphany, that Jesus comes to us in ways that really will stretch us, stretch our imagination, stretch our preconceived ideas of how God moves in the world. And Jesus shows up to Nathanael and says to him, Nathanael, I know you. It's almost like an echo of our psalm for today. Before I was born, you knew me. You know me, God. This is, again, an echo of that intimate language of John baptizing Jesus, and Jesus coming out of the water. This is my son. There's an intimacy involved in walking with Jesus. There's a sense of being known. And Jesus says to Nathanael, I saw you sitting under a fig tree before we arrived. Nathanael, I know you. Incidentally, the image of the fig tree in the Hebrew Scriptures comes out of a variety of places in the Hebrew Scriptures. It always signals a sense of peace and settledness, and they will sit under their vine and under their fig tree. It's a sign of peace. It's a sign of having been, of settling, of being okay. Maybe it's a sign of a comfort zone, of being in that place where one is comfortable, even though Roman occupation is taking place. And this is on the eve of the holiday for Martin Luther King Jr. In many ways, the voice of a prophet like him coming into the world and saying, we are this nation, we proclaim the good news, we have a particular identity, and yet some, like Nathanael, are people who belong and people who don't belong. That these can coexist is startling. And so the gospel calls us to say, to go beyond those limitations in our own lives, to go all in, because Epiphany is in reality about going all in, about the Spirit of God at work in us, receiving the Holy Spirit to step into those spaces, to have those conversations, to maybe move towards reconciliation in your own family, with your own friends, to reveal the light that has come, to go all in. I don't know if you've heard the story, perhaps you've heard this, because I know that Father Harry, traffics and lives within sort of these sort of Celtic theology and Celtic references. But so perhaps you've heard the story of the baptism of the Gauls. You know, there's a dispute about its historicity. Some people say it's like an urban legend of some sort. But the Gauls were a warlike people who in ancient times inhabited what is today France and Belgium. They spoke a Celtic language and were Druidic in their religion. And by the time the Christian era arrived, they had been conquered by the Roman Empire and were supposedly under its control. These are the Gauls. The extent of their control of Rome over this community is spotty because there were plenty of Gaelic uprisings during this time. A number of Christian missionaries ventured into Gaelic territory over time, and many of the Gauls became Christians. They converted to Christianity. And as the story goes, when a converted warrior was baptized in a river or stream, he would hold one arm high up in the sky as the rest of their body was immersed under the water. Now, the missionaries were confused. This seemed like a particular, it's very, very peculiar custom. And then they learned the reason for it. When the next battle or the next skirmish broke out, the warlike Gaul, who had been baptized, would proclaim, "This arm is not baptized." Would grab his sword and club or axe and ride off to destroy his enemy in the most unchristian way. Epiphany calls us to be all in and to discover that Jesus finds us because Jesus knows us, and then Jesus deploys us into the world to be light. And sometimes that light takes place in those intimate spaces where we ask for forgiveness, where we reconcile with a sibling or a son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter, where we make the move in recognition that we are more than the limited ideas that sometimes shape the way that we view the world, that we are more than that because Jesus Christ at work in and through us invites us to be light. And so maybe this is the day that as light we move into those spaces in our hearts and in our lives to see what Jesus can do when we come to Jesus as we are and we open up our lives and say, what does it mean to be light right here? Or, as I experienced at the Veteran Center, to receive the light from those places and spaces where God is at work in ways beyond the ideas and limitations we place on His love. God's love knows no boundaries. God's love goes in and through us and leads us out into the world. Amen.